This is the July edition of Mondays with Mike. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, is here, as he is most every first Monday of the month, with some news to share with you. And he has some answers to your public radio-related questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post your question or comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Is there something we can do for you to serve you better? Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Did you enjoy some fireworks over the weekend?
I did, and we managed to protect ourselves mostly from the mosquitoes. That little breeze that came up was a big grace.
That was nice, yeah. So, I don't know. Should we expect some fireworks on the show today?
You never know. but I really do value the opportunity to come here and hear from listeners and hear directly. You know, sometimes you answer an email, that kind of thing, but this is fun, too.
It is a lot of fun. We appreciate you coming in almost every first Monday of the month. You know, not only did we celebrate America's birthday recently, we celebrated the first anniversary, happy birthday, 1 year's 1 year old Central Time, our new afternoon talk show.
Yeah, we'll see about when we get to 250 years of Central Time, how significant it's turned out to be. But really, inside WPR, it was very significant because it's the first big new program launch we've had in quite a while. And it's wonderful to see that after a year, the show is really taking off. It's drawing a lot of listenership, and there have just been so many remarkable segments that have been done on it. And I remember listening to the very first broadcast, and there was something very comforting about it to me, which was I heard Rob and Veronica, and I said, yeah, this is still the Ideas Network. The concern when you launch something very new is that you'll somehow be out of character and therefore turn listeners off. And now I know not every listener agrees. We've talked about that on this show, about the format, which to mention it again, as we've talked about here, Central Time is it has more topics per hour than, say, your show does, mm-hmm. Joy. And the basic idea there is that there are a lot more things we can be talking about on the Ideas Network than necessarily really give you an hour's worth of talking. And so sometimes there's call-in, sometimes not. We have interviews. We play the occasional feature that maybe then inspires an interview. And I think people are telling us by their listening that they really like it.
So do you want to say happy birthday to Central Time? Or do you have a question about some other Wisconsin Public Radio program? Maybe comment or concern over any other Wisconsin Public Radio service or operations or our website, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or you can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You know, there was a listener who called our audience services department sometime in the past month, and let me see if I can find that particular comment right away. I listen mostly in the morning, and I feel it's time you change the shows up. Maybe Joy can move to the afternoon. It doesn't feel like you cover important topics as you did before. I don't want to hear about movies and food in the morning. I want tough talk on issues like the mine and politics and the environment. Central Time has good topics, but they aren't long enough, and no one calls. And this person was thinking that we were moving in the wrong direction. Your comments on that, Mike?
Well, I think that the fact that our listenership is growing in the afternoon is a general comment, but absolutely, you know, every single program, it changes over time. You know, I don't know that you're doing a lot more about movies or food or politics than before. It seems to me like the mix is about the same, but, you know, it's the way that you make a radio show, for instance, just like any creative activity, is that it's a constant improvisation. You have the really smart people that work on it, the producers and the host and all of that, and you have all of the different possible topics that you might bring up. But then news happens, you know. So I would think typically, and this is just an impression I have, that many summers will be a little bit more of the food and movies thing for a number of reasons. One is we think about barbecues and we think about summer blockbuster movies. I mean, that kind of comes with it. But also, Once a legislature is out of session or things like that, then sometimes the harder news topics are a little harder to draw out from your potential guests because they're on the campaign trail or they're taking their break or whatever. So those things might wax and wane. But I think in general, the program mix has stayed about the same.
Excellent answer, Mike. That is exactly right. And interestingly enough, we just did a bunch of programming about the mine and the environment last week as it relates to politics as well. So yeah, we will continue to do that. We also had another reason to celebrate last week. The donation came in a while back, but we celebrated it to some extent last week. What is tell us about this this big endowment we received.
Sure. This is the, for shorthand, we call it the Kensler gift. And this was a gift from Jim Kensler, who was a longtime friend of WPR in the sense that he was a listener and occasional donator and so on. But he was also the widower of someone who I hold very dear because she is one of my predecessors, and that's Claire Ellen Kensler, who went by the nickname Pinky. And Claire was the first woman station manager of WHA back in 1974, and she died tragically of cancer just 2 years after her appointment in that job. But one of the things that I've learned about Claire is that she got the job because, and I'll put it very lightly, she was the adult in the room. Yeah. You know, in other words, she was extremely competent and driven and so on, and she got a lot done, including she had a role in the founding of what has become the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, which is our member organization that's attached to WPR. And so a lot of great contributions. She was a part of the School of the Air. She was a dramatist. She was a writer and an editor. Just a remarkable person. And I'm talking about that because Jim's bequest, his last gift, if you will, is to WPR, in honor of the memory of Claire. And Jim and Claire both were very interested in animals and animal welfare and other things, and so certainly would want us to talk about that as well. And this was the single largest gift that WPR has received ever, and it was just under $850,000. And just over $870,000. I mixed the number up there. And what happens with a bequest like this is that it's deposited into a board-designated account that's managed as an endowment. So what that means is that this dollar amount will stay constant. There will always be that amount in the bank account. And then some of the interest earned on it will help to pay for WPR in perpetuity. And so when it's fully realized, it's going to be donating annually about $45,000 to $47,000 a year to WPR. That's a couple of years from now. So really a remarkable gift. We're thrilled about it and very pleased to honor Jim and Claire both.
So can you give us some idea how this might enrich our Wisconsin Public Radio listeners?
So actually, as one of a number of bequests that we received over the last year, what happens is that the endowment in general contributes to the sort of bottom line health of WPR. Now, sometimes people give for something very specific, but in the case of these undesignated endowments, they go to the general fund for WPR. And so essentially the Joy Cardine Show and Central Time and Prairie Home Companion and all of it is helped by contributions like that. And, you know, with people that have listened to WPR really literally for their entire long lives, we have been seeing more of these sorts of bequests come along as people are creating their last will and testament. They want to benefit WPR as one of the nonprofits that they contribute to through their accumulated wealth from their life.
You just mentioned a Prairie Home Companion, and that reminded me that yet another birthday, 40th anniversary, wasn't it, this
That's
weekend?
Right. They had a big party, a three-hour tour, if you will, on Saturday night. And, you know, it's funny. It's 40 years since it started, but there aren't 40 years of shows in the can, as they say, because once in a while, Garrison retired along the way and then came back because I think he just loved doing it so much. And so they celebrated 40 years this past Saturday.
There is some special programming that that you can share with us, Mike. I guess it's boy, what one of them is tonight?
Yeah, that's right. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have one of two new pilots of a radio show called Reveal, and this is a project of PRX, which is one of our networks that distributes programs and creates some programs like the Moth Radio Hour and the Center for Investigative Reporting, and they're investigative stories that. Are told in different and, we hope, compelling ways. It's a pilot series they've been doing. And tonight, topics include politics and influence around the U.S., drinking water, a big deal, and the extensive record of accidents and equipment failures in the Coast Guard. Those are some of the stories that will be on tonight. And so I encourage people to tune in for that.
Yes, that'll be July 7th and July 14th. At 6 p.m., two new pilots of this show called Reveal. And then on July 21st, another special at 6 p.m., The Right to Vote.
Yep, this is on sort of a historical perspective on the right to vote from slaves freed after the Civil War, women's suffrage, the civil rights movement, and today's debate over whether people should have to show IDs at the polls.
Well, that will be that is timely. And speaking of voting, just should remind listeners that once again in this election year, we will be conducting candidate forums. And before the primary election on August 12th, we will invite all candidates who are on the ballot in statewide races that have challengers within their party to a candidate forum. So we will be inviting all of the candidates for the various statewide races or federal races on the Joy Cardine Show at 7 o'clock in the morning. And Central Time will be doing the same with other races at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And this will be taking place August 4th through the 8th as a part of our election 2014 coverage. And we are collaborating with the Wisconsin Vote website again this year, Mike?
That's right. Wisconsin Vote is a collaboration of Wisconsin Public Television and radio, and we'll be compiling all of our coverage there. So if you happen to catch a few but want to catch more, that's a great place to do that. And there's lots of other stuff there, too, including information about how and where to vote and broader political coverage as well. And so we encourage you to check out wisconsinvote.org.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he is with us on this first Monday of the month to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our July edition of Mondays with Mike, and we welcome your feedback forum. We welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. This is the July edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane, welcoming your questions for him or any feedback you might have for him about what you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tony in Milwaukee is our first caller. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
Hi, Tony.
I think it's all lucky to have you. I put you at the same level as Link and Free Speech TV, where we get the truth, get the skinny. We don't have editors that are from Fox or from ABC, NBC, CBS, those that are corporate. If I might digress to thanking you for the debates, you know, there should be more debates instead of less debates than we've had in the last 20 years. And then I'm going to get off the air real quick, but regarding voting, I think it should be Tuesday to Tuesday, like the Beatles song, 8 days of the week.
All right, we get it, Tony. Thanks for all of those comments. So it's nice to know that Tony considers us an important part of, I guess, democracy. And,
yeah, I think that's right. And I think that if there is an outcome that WPR wants for the world, one of those outcomes is an informed citizenry so that we can make good decisions about who's in charge of our government. And, you know, I take seriously one of the things that Tony said, which is that there are fewer debates nowadays than there used to be. The series that we do of the candidate interviews is actually pretty distinctive, and it's very pleasing to know that people value talking to our listeners enough to expose themselves to a half hour or an hour of conversation about what's on their mind as candidates, and we hope that will always continue. We're also working with various partners to see about getting some televised and radio broadcast debates on the air for the fall elections as well. Those have proven to be harder to schedule than they used to be over that period of time that Tony is talking about. But we're certainly working on that because we believe that's a part of that creating the informed citizenry.
Thank you again, Tony. Another listener who contacted our audience services office says, "We've had some bad weather recently, including some high winds and a tornado. WPR went out. With exclamation points. I couldn't believe that the voices I hear 24/7 were suddenly gone. I wasn't really worried or concerned about anything else, but when I didn't hear my shows and my companions, there was certainly a void. It made me realize how much you mean to me."
Yeah.
It must have been the power went out in her home, and that's what. Cause,
her home or possibly one of our transmitters,
yeah,
you know, with 35 stations around the state, sometimes those things do happen. And we have outages, but we get to fix them as quickly as we can. Yeah, that's a wonderful comment. The other thing that happens, and it's happened a lot lately here in South Central Wisconsin, is that we have those alerts that go off just automatically. You know, that crazy noise, that
EAS,
the EAS emergency alert system. And one thing people don't necessarily know about that is that. You sitting in the studio, Joy, you may have no idea that those things are going off because they're automated and they could be happening in a locality. So let's say that you were listening to WSSW and those went off and then the alert is gone and you might notice Joy doesn't seem to have acknowledged that it was happening. And that's because we're continuing the network-wide programming at that time. But our systems are set to alert you to things like tornado watches and warnings and severe thunderstorms because, as we know, people really can get hurt. And so we want that information going out automatically as triggered. And so this time of year, you'll have more of those sorts of interruptions. I'm sure that there are times when there's a wave of them coming across the state, and then you'll miss substantive parts of the conversation. That's when it's a good idea to remember about WPR.org and to listen back if you'd really like to.
You can listen to the archive, sure.
And meanwhile, be safe. That's the real key.
Yeah. Well, we have another listener who was asking, what happened to the NPR station in Superior? It hasn't been on the air for several weeks.
That's really interesting. I do know that we've had some power reductions due to tower work. And so what can happen is if you're at a certain distance from the transmitter because they've lowered the power, it will appear to be off to you when it may still be on at a very low power. And it's here's the reason, which is that if there's work going on a transmitting tower, literally there are tower climbers who have to go up there and do the work. And naturally, it wouldn't be safe for them to have all of that radio wave stuff going right next to them. And so we turn things down. So that's probably it without knowing the exact circumstances. And as always, if you have an outage like that, let audience services know because they really do follow up on that.
Let's take another call from Rachel in Milwaukee. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I love public radio. You guys are terrific. But following that, what I'm noticing is that two of my very favorites are Chapter a Day and University of the Air. What I'm wondering is, why is there so much music? I calculate we could get another chapter, an additional 20 minutes of reading a week, and we could have more Norman Gilliland and his terrific interviews. If we didn't spend like 4 minutes, 5 minutes on the music.
Yeah, there's actually, thank you, Rachel, for the questions. There's slightly different answers. In the case of University of the Air, typically that's music to kind of fill out the last seconds before a station break, that sort of thing. And sometimes because, you know, you're editing an interview, you sometimes use the music to fill that. NPR actually years ago had a really funny name for some of that. They call them buttons, meaning hit the button, hitting the button, because they were maybe having, because they were producing All Things Considered Live, they might have to play some music to fill out the time while they were getting the next tape lined up or something like that. Now, we pre-produce now in that case, so that doesn't happen. But I like that, buttons. And another one they had were, they called them bleebles, which are like the blump, 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 blump kind of things. And so that's one thing.
What
so,
was that, Mike? I'm just kidding.
No, I don't need to do that again. So the other is Chapter Day, Rachel. And the story there is that in order for us to fit things in chapter sort of structure, so that maybe it might be two chapters in one day or something like that, or depending on the structure of the book. But in order to have things end at sort of appropriate points for getting you to be willing to wait and tune in for the next day, what Jim Fleming has shared with me on a number of occasions is that they use that music as a way of just filling out the half hour, because we have a half hour of programming. And sometimes you'll hear them do little featurette kind of things that will fill in some of that, or talk about something that's coming up. But sometimes you really do need, you know, 3, 4, or 5 minutes of music to get that all lined up.
I get it. So the end of a chapter may require that more than a couple of minutes of music be played. Otherwise, you could end in like mid-sentence, and then the knock came at the door.
Yeah. Now, sometimes that's a good way to end, yeah. but that's exactly why that's happening.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Rachel, for the call. Speaking of Chapter a Day, a listener contacted us and said, I originally hooked my blind 95-year-old neighbor onto Chapter a Day. She loved it and would call me right after 1 o'clock when it was finished and leave a message about it. Then I would listen to the evening repeat and we would discuss it. Recently, though, mostly the last books, the selection has been boring with no character development. Please bring back some novels.
I won't say which book, but I did share not one of the recent ones, but maybe a year and a half ago, I did share with the Chapter Day folks how much I disliked one particular book. And they said, you know, but there are a lot of people who do like this one. And I'm sure they were right. Many people found that book very charming. It's an art to choose the books, and there are insanely more books than we'll ever get to, of course. And the other thing is, there are books that we can't get permission to do Chapter a Day with. And so we're always trying to balance those sorts of things. Definitely send those comments along when you have them, because I know that all of us avidly pay attention to listener comments. And so we value hearing from you on those.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he stops by once a month to talk with you about what's on your mind regarding Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Pat in Elroy. Hello, Pat.
Good morning. I really enjoy a lot of the programs that you guys do, and I was a particularly big fan of Kathleen Dunn's shows. But when you moved her to the afternoon slot, I found that I'm just not in a position to be listening at that time of the day. And I was wondering if it was possible that she would ever get moved back to the morning slot where she was before.
Oh, thanks for the question. I never say never on anything. That's sort of not my way, as many of my friends and family know. But I think it's unlikely for this reason, which is that when we had to reassemble the schedule of the Ideas Network a year ago, we had a couple of puzzle pieces that we had to work on. So many will remember, in addition to changing from At Issue to Central Time, at the same time, and unexpected for us, we learned from National Public Radio that they were canceling Talk of the Nation.
That's right.
And that was live from 1 till 3. And so when we looked at what else was available, there was no other live call-in show that was available at that time. But we had been carrying On Point on a tape delay in the evenings. And On Point actually is provided at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. And it's live from Boston and nationwide at that time. So what we thought is that there was an opportunity by moving Kathleen back to the afternoons where she had been years ago, that we would then have live call-in and talk programs from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., which has been our general schedule for a long time. And over the years, we heard a lot of people saying that they would have liked to have participated in the call-in part of On Point, and now they can because it's live. So I know, Pat, you're right. You know, when a schedule changes, we miss something we're very used to and that we enjoy. It's not a salve on the wound to say, well, use your phone to listen to the archives, because then you can't participate on the phone, I know. For the moment, I don't think it's going to change. But we keep looking at things, and it's possible.
Let's move to Steve in Milwaukee now, our next caller. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, folks. I'm calling in regards to the best of our knowledge. And I understand it's cut down now to 1 hour. I could see that as far as budget. But they're even going into the programming itself. There are very few programs that I listen to that I absolutely get mesmerized by. And to the best of our knowledge, is one of them. They pick one subject, and they go at it from all kinds of different angles. They just love it.
Oh, well, hold on, Steve, because to the best of our knowledge, is still 2 hours a week, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah. The way that the show is produced is that there's a fresh hour and a repeat hour every week that we provide nationally so that it makes a two-hour block. And we've scheduled it on our stations a number of different ways. Sometimes we schedule, like, you know, Saturday and Sunday at the same time. We also have that strip now in the evenings that we carry. So we still are producing pretty much the same number of programs as we have. I'm interested in Steve's perception, though. And was there a question as well, Steve?
Yeah, well, I only get 1 hour here in Milwaukee. I'm not sure what's going on WHAD, but it's just on Sunday from 1 o'clock to 2. So I'm not sure if there's another hour at a different time.
Yeah, there's. You might want to take a look at the schedules that are online for WHAD, because it's on in a number of places, including on the weeknights as well.
Okay, well, those are repeats. Those I understand are kind of reruns.
Yeah, so in any case, though, there is a fresh hour pretty much every week, and that hasn't changed.
Okay,
but I'm really glad you enjoy it so much. I think it's one of the top programs, not only on WPR, but in the country, and we're very proud of it.
Well, here's the part I don't enjoy. There seems to be a change in format in that the last segment of it switches to a different topic. For example, I was absolutely intrigued about the conversations about sleep during the one program.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last segment, she says, now we're going to switch to something completely different. You pull the Monty Python on us and let's talk about Zimbabwe. And I'm thinking, why don't you just do a program on Zimbabwe for an hour and just continue this, you know, absolutely wonderful program where you continue about all angles about sleep or whatever other conversation mm-hmm. you're having. Why are you doing that? And I'm hoping it's just an experiment with a back door.
Certainly, you know, any programmatic change is kind of an experiment when you do it. But the idea is that we've been getting a lot of feedback from stations, because this is a nationally distributed program, that an hour on a single topic always is a bit much as far as they're concerned. And so we decided to try something that I think what will work out is that the example you gave of 10 minutes on Zimbabwe will probably result in a future very compelling hour about Zimbabwe, because that last little segment on the show comes out of something we were learning from our website. And there's a feature on the website called On Our Minds. And because of the way that To the Best of Our Knowledge is produced in advance and usually meant to be kind of evergreen, like you could play it a year later and it would still be fine, one thing that we were not really getting to was the kind of thing that is, you know, things about the mind that are in the news. And so that's the idea of that segment. But it's good to have the feedback that it's not working for you. But overall, I think you're right. The most of those segments, like we had this weekend, and I have to go back and listen to it on podcast because I was busy mm-hmm. with something else. I want to hear that. It was an hour almost about what it means to be a patriot. And that sounds really interesting, certainly appropriate for the fourth weekend. And so I'll try to listen to that after the fact.
Thank you so much, Steve, for your question and your feedback. We are talking with Mike Crane. He is Wisconsin Public Radio's director. He usually stops by the first Monday of each month to share news with you and to respond to your feedback and to answer your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the July edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane, welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And our next caller is Marv in New Berlin. Hello, Marv.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi.
A couple small items that I've been on my to-do list. First of all, I'm happy to hear that the public radio got a donation for an endowment. I wish I could contribute more. I've been a long-time listener, but I like the sustained membership idea. I think that really is a smart idea. It helps people who are interested in supporting, but it doesn't have to be done on a, you know, every 6 months you have to be reminded of it. But on another note, whenever I travel to the upstate parts of Wisconsin, I think there's somewhat of an over-technology emphasis. I know people in Madison tend to be fairly adept at being connected, and the web is not a problem, but there's a lot of places in the northern parts of the state where they just don't have access to the internet, and I would like to see less of a focus on for more information, you know, contact.com, because Michigan Public Radio, for whatever reason, still realizes that there's people who do things the old-fashioned way with telephone calls and even sending postcards into you know, Simply Folk for suggestions. I think it's always good to keep the idea that there are people in rural parts of Wisconsin who don't have access and feel somewhat discriminated. But another pet peeve, which I'm probably not going to have Wisconsin Public Radio, but the market information. When I get these little blurbs that the Dow is doing so and so, and it's at so and so, I've lost a lot of confidence since this high-speed trading issue has come up, where most of the money being done in the market is basically in dark pools. And I would like to see less emphasis on a business marketing approach.
All right. You know, Marv, you gave us a lot to chew on. So,
yeah. So let me chew. So I think, Mark, what you're talking about is how at the end of every newscast, pretty much you'll hear them say where the Dow is at that time. And that actually is performing two purposes. One is the information itself. The other is that as the newscaster is trying to assemble their 3 minutes, then 2 minutes that they're doing, they use that as a little buffer so that they can lengthen or shorten that information to get to the precise time. So there might be other things that they've used. That's been, gosh, forever that they've used that in those newscasts. But I take to heart what you're saying. And in fact, I think there are probably some great call-in shows that we've done or should do about how the market has changed with the program trading and all of that sort of thing. Maybe you can bring it up with
sure.
Kevin at some point. And then the other things, the sustaining membership, yep, that is a big deal for us. It really does reduce our costs in terms of sending those periodic notices because people are just making an ongoing contribution. So it's good that it reduced costs. It also, people tell us that it feels more affordable sometimes to be able to do $10 a month instead of writing a single check to for $120. And I think that just fits, you know, how our money comes into our lives through wages or salary, that sort of thing. So thanks for that. And then
The other question
on the tech
was,
end, one thing that we still do here at WPR and we plan to continue it is to have that 800 number that anyone can call for information. And that's very active. And Joy, I never memorized the number. I know you say it enough to have it kind of in your head, but we should always continue to give out audience services
numbers. The audience services number that I have memorized is 1-800-747-7444. And if you have a comment, a question, some feedback anytime, not just during Mondays with Mike, you can call Audience Services, 1-800-747-7444. You can also find us, yes, on the web at WPR.org. You can also send us mail through 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Now, one of the things that we're doing that does help a bit on the internet side is that because we're so focused on having for that where there's a lot of mobile access that you can get WPR.org really fast on mobile, is that actually does help us with making slower connections work pretty well as well. And we definitely recognize you have big differentials, not only, you know, if you're in a location where it's hard to get internet, but I think Marv's right. Some people don't use internet can't. You know, there are some listeners who they would just find it so much easier to just speak with someone for whatever set of reasons they might have, and we're glad to provide that too. Good comments, Marv. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Marv, for the call. You know, since you brought up the endowment that we talked about at the beginning of the show, it brings to mind, this does not mean that we don't have pledge drives anymore, right?
No, I mean, the size of an endowment to get rid of pledge drives. So this would give you the scale, not just pledge drive, but our overall pledge thing. So that's sustainers and mail and everything. That's about $7 million a year in dollars raised from listeners. And this endowment, when it's fully working, will produce about $46,000 a year. So we'd need an awful lot of endowments to make up all of those member dollars.
Mike, the fiscal year for the University of Wisconsin runs July 1 through June 30th, if I'm not mistaken, and we just have entered a new fiscal year. Mm-hmm. How is Wisconsin Public Radio doing budget-wise, fiscally?
Great and challenged, as is true for pretty much any nonprofit. One of the things that has shifted a lot over the years is that we're more reliant now than ever upon donor support for paying the bills. And in the long arc of it, the way I think of it is in 1979, when we had our first pledge drive, that was a mark of the change from completely supported by the state and federal government for this with the CPB grant to a situation where now in a typical year you might see 35% to 40% of our total support coming from listeners. So that's one of the challenges, is that we very obviously work really hard to raise all of that money. But we had a really strong finish to this last year with corporate support and member support up over the previous year. And the only challenge there is that sometimes our expenses go up faster than our ability to raise more money. So we carefully adjust each year and then keep moving forward.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org if you have a question or some feedback for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have a comment from a listener that came into our audience services center. I think many others too, this listener says, would really like to hear more jazz on WPR. What about jazz on WPR, Mike?
Yeah, I definitely trust that there are people who would like to hear more jazz, but we don't see a ton of listening to the jazz that we have, which would be discouraging to this listener, I'm sure. I happen to have started my career hosting a jazz show, Jazz at Dawn, many, many years ago.
At Dawn,
yeah. There's a whole story there I'll tell you someday. But it was an odd time to start a jazz program at 5 in the morning, but we did. And so I've always had jazz, at least since I was an adult and learned about it in my heart. But I think that just as with other music choices, we're seeing in the case of jazz that the audience for it is declining nationwide. I remember reading something I wish I could provide the citation because then I'd 100% know it's true. But it said something like that there are fewer than 100 jazz DJs left in the country now. And there are maybe two or three stations that I can think of that do jazz as their primary format. KPLU is one of those. That's out of Tacoma, Washington. And if you really, if you need a lot of jazz and you're able to tune in on the internet, I'm thinking of Marv's comment right now on this suggestion, but if you're able to do that, KPLU has a 24/7 jazz service that's really good. And you might consider tuning to that as well as, of course, listening to WPR.
Yeah. Well, there were some more listeners commenting about the end of Live at the Chazen. I'm very disappointed with the decision to stop the broadcast of Chazen concerts without listener input. A reaction to that, Mike.
Yeah, the challenge is we always make the decisions based on what we know, and that does include a ton of listener input over time. But this was a decision that was driven by a number of resource issues, time, money, and people. And what a lot of people don't know about the Chazen series that we broadcast was that it was actually a WPR production in every way. We had wonderful hosts in the Chazen, and they certainly helped us out with the being in the hall and the logistics, and they had staff there every week. So I'm really grateful for that work. But we were booking the artists. We were paying them, not enough probably, and doing the scheduling and the recording and getting the gear back and forth every week for the recording. And so we just, in the midst of trying to keep all of our resources in line, we decided that it was time to let the series go. But we will continue to do lots of live broadcasts. More often now they'll be when they're in our studios. So we've continued to have a lot on the midday with Norman Gilliland on the other network. And we'll be inviting people into our studios around the state for concerts and so on. And we should have more to announce about that in the near future. I understand some people didn't like the timing, but the reason we announced it in May, besides the fact that we had a new fiscal year starting, was that we wanted the folks who've been on that series to have the time to schedule other things. And I have no doubt that some wonderful alternatives will arise, and we may even be talking about them on the radio.
We have an email from Ron in Milwaukee. Will there be more diversity representation on the air, apparently? What can you tell us about that, Mike?
That is very definitely our plan and our increasing practice. And I really see that in two ways we've talked about here. One is a diversity of staff, and because staff tend to stay around for a long time. New hires are not that frequent, but we really work very hard to identify diverse candidates for our positions, and sometimes we're successful in hiring them. And we'll continue that work. And in fact, one of our goals for this year is to really look at our recruitment efforts and see what we can do to improve those further. The other is, who are we talking to? And so we have a project that the simple name we've had for it is the Sourcing Project. And the idea of that is that we will look for people who aren't, to use the old line from Casablanca, the usual suspects. There was a letter from the news director at NPR to the NPR news folks that was talking about this very issue, that the emphasis that public radio forever has had on experts and authors and so on has tended to cause us to have more white males proportionally than other sources. And so we're really looking at this very hard and trying to make sure that we have more diverse voices as the sources for guests, for news sources and so on. And we're keeping track of that and trying to make progress.
Yeah. Just because I've never really talked about it a lot on the air, it just reminds me that we are doing an ongoing series, certainly throughout the summer and perhaps ongoing forever. We started in May with an hour devoted to the African-American experience in Wisconsin. Last month, we did the Hmong experience in Wisconsin, and what we are planning for in July, and probably pretty soon, since new census data came out showing that Latinos are now the majority minority in Wisconsin. That will do the Latino experience in Wisconsin coming up probably an 8 to 9 o'clock hour in the next week or two. So let's. Boy, I'm sorry. A caller just dropped off. Ron in Milwaukee also wanted to know if we are planning any plays on the air. I guess he means radio dramas.
Yeah. We're dreaming of such things. One of the things is we approach our 100th anniversary of Wisconsin Public Radio and its predecessor organizations, 9XM and so on, is we're looking at all of the things that we've done over the years. And one of those things was Earplay, which was a nationally distributed series of plays with remarkable actors and so on. And we have this kind of a dream idea, maybe related to the 100th anniversary, of reviving a short series of Earplays that could be for the public to experience with us and so on. But the plans aren't concrete at this point. The other thing, though, is that periodically we have done a live radio play of one of the old-time radio dramas. Mm-hmm. The one I'm remembering most vividly was right down the hall here in Buck's studio. We did the 39 Steps with the Forward Theater when they were kicking off as a new theater group. And so we certainly look for opportunities like that as well.
Just a couple more minutes to go and a couple of more things we should talk about, at least. A couple of trips are coming up, including one to Big Top Chautauqua. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, this is kind of an annual tradition for us now to get people from other parts of the state to go all the way north to, as they say, the south shore of Lake Superior. And to experience a really remarkable experience under the big tent at Big Top Chautauqua. And our trip is going to have a dinner at Good Time Restaurant, yum, 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 and then the Blue Canvas Orchestra's performance of Shanties and Shipwrecks. And they'll have basically an opportunity, the travelers will, to enjoy the North Woods for a couple of days, and just a remarkable part of the state. And as well, they're going to go over to Duluth to the Canal Park, which is a really neat area as well. Duluth being one of those surprises to people who haven't been up that way, and having just some remarkable aspects as well, just like Superior and Bayfield and Ashland and all those wonderful places up north.
It sounds like fun. So does the Rhine Holiday Cruise with Wisconsin Public Radio. We have less than a minute, though, Mike.
Yeah.
Still spots on that Rhine Holiday Cruise?
That's right. So people will hear about that, and it's at WPR.org/travel for those that can look it up on the internet, or call audience services and they'll tell you. And it's Christmas markets and wine and food and classical music and so on with Peter Bryant, who's our music director, and Mary Kay Dadisman, who's our director of development. And they'll be along for that wonderful cruise.
Sounds good. And I know some listeners wonder about this. This is traveling carbon neutral, thanks to Earthbound Expeditions and its partnership with CarbonFund.org. So just so you know that as well. And Mike, we're out of time. Next month, Mike Arnold, the Mike
the
number
Mike,
two,
yes,
will be with us on the first Monday of August. So we will talk to you soon, though. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks to everybody who's called and written in.
Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks a lot for all of your calls and comments. Remember, you can always call Audience Services at 1-800-747-7444, or you can contact us online at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Justin Williams and to Christy Shepherd for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.